And as we mentioned, Craig's out with his latest Craigslist, his second-to-last draft ranking before the draft, whenever it's held at some point this summer. Craig joins us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. How are you doing this morning, Craig?
Hey, I'm good, but here's the big question, JR. Like, if there's no more games, and I just put out a list yesterday, what the hell could change?
Well, listen, we asked that question, Craig. We also asked the question of how did it end up you've got 103 guys on your list? We were trying to do the math on how you ended at 103.
Three rounds, yep. 93, yep. Plus 10.
Okay. Just 10 just because? They're, you want to be able to move them into your top 93?
No, I mean, you do it. I mean, I think you just it just became a nice little number, like three rounds plus 10, right?
So yeah. You really threw JR for a loop on that one, Craig. So yeah. Now we've gotten that out of the way in hour three. You can continue on. Well,
and then the other one, too, yeah, there'll be another list. Okay, yeah, it'll be exactly the same as this one. Yeah. You know, what it'll be is find Waldo. I'm going to make little subtle moves that people have to find.
All right. Well, listen, what are the NFL is going to face this first and foremost, because their draft is less than a month away, and who knows when the NHL draft is going to happen, and if it happens, in what form is it going to happen? But just the thought of players not being, there's going to be no draft combine, of teams not being able to meet either one last time or in a bigger picture, meeting all the guys at once. What impact might that have come draft time if those meetings don't take place?
Well, and I think the key word there, JR, is if, right? So, like, I mean, it's been postponed right now. I mean, there's a couple of things. You know, the combine has, it really serves a significant purpose for NHL teams, not just to, you know, meet the players, the interviews, and to spend time with them, and then all of that, the face-to-face meetings that go on, but for the strength and conditioning coaches and for the scouting staff. You know, you go through the scouting reports, you say, okay, this player, you know, we really like him. You know, we think he needs to improve in this area. How much stronger can he get? And that's where the combine comes in, because the strength and conditioning coaches can say, hey, listen, we think he's got this much room to improve in his strength. We're not so sure that he has that ability. So it becomes a significant part of the process to come to a point where you say, this is the guy we want. This is the guy. Because Sean will tell you this. Every team now basically is working in clusters. You know, you have a pretty good idea of where you're picking, you know, at that point in the season. And now you're looking at clusters of players. And what you're trying to do is get an order within that cluster. And so if you're picking, and if you think you're picking somewhere around 18, right, like you got a cluster of five players, and what you want to do is go through that group of players really in depth and say, okay, this is the guy that we think is the best player, this is the second. And that's where the combine for the strength and conditioning, the physiologists come in and say, hey, listen, we think this guy might have a better chance to improve than that guy. And then, you know, that's what you're really trying to do, is you're trying to look at how much improvement they have in projecting. So the combine's pretty significant. But the one thing I'll say, JR, is that no team has an advantage. We know about all the reports and the allegations against the Arizona Coyotes, who were doing some illegal things, but I don't think they have any type of combine information that would give them a leg up on anybody.
Craig, the NFL was able to get their combines in, but not some of the medicals and interviews. Do you foresee a situation possibly where the NHL would say, you know what, as you said, it's a level playing field for everybody, we are going to go ahead without the combine?
Well, it depends when, you know, how they want to have the draft. What I would say, Sean, is I don't think that that's their goal. I think they want to have a combine. I think they want to have, make sure that they have the medicals in place. And because, you know, there's also, you know, understanding, you know, underlying problems. Like, if you're Hendrix Lapierre and you want to show that you're capable and that you've been given a clean bill of health, well, that's fine. But the teams all want to know that too, right? So, you know, that's a really good player, and that becomes significant. So I don't think there's a scenario where they don't want that to happen. Now, I mean, like 2005, could it be a case of where it happens? Yeah, but I think they're trying to do everything they can to ensure that there can be some form of a combine and, you know, the medicals can take place.
With the TSN director of scouting, Craig Button, on Hendrix Lapierre. He's a local kid from right across the river. You've rated him as the 10th overall. You said he's the best two-way player in the draft, but with the concussion issues, do you see him as the biggest potential slider in this draft based on how teams are feeling about that concussion history?
Well, I mean, and that's where the medical comes into play, right? And understand, you know, Hendrix is a terrific player. He really is. You know, watching him for 2 years, watching him within his age group, I mean, he's a terrific player. But, you know, you get beset by a concussion. He hasn't played since November 21st. You know, that's cause for concern. The one thing that I've said, JR, is that, you know, when Sidney Crosby had his concussion issues, it didn't make him any less of a player. Now, we all speculated, was he going to be the same player when he came back? What was he going to look like? Everything that went with that. You know, he got healthy, he came back, and we've all seen the answer to that. Well, we don't know the answer to that with Hendrix. So what you try to do is you try to look at, okay, what do our doctors tell us? What do the medical reports tell us? You know, what types of evaluations, meeting the kid and understanding where he's at, what does that tell us? And that's what you're trying to do because, you know, I think teams know he's a really good player, but you want to have that, you want to be as assured and as confident as possible that the player you're selecting is going to be able to play and be able to have a full and healthy career. So there's no question that when you look at him, in my mind, he's a player that teams eye, but, you know, right now it's he could go 10, he could go 15, he could go 30. Who knows? He might slip into the second round, depending on what the reports come back.
And Craig, I mentioned Crosby, also mentioned Patrick Stephan, and I guess for a doctor, your question would be, hey, no two concussions are the same. Is there something different on a teenager versus, you know, Crosby in his mid-20s? I guess if you're a general manager, from what you know, if you had a top 10 pick, would you take Lapierre, just on the information that you have right now?
Would I?
Yeah.
Like, did he feel healthy?
Well, from whatever you've been told, and I mean, you have great networks within the hockey world. Like,
yeah,
you know,
but no. Medically, I don't. I know he was working, you know, hard to, you know, to try. When I say hard, you know, you have to give it the requisite amount of time. And when we think about November 21st, and we go, oh, geez, November 21st. But when you rewind, I mean, it was 3.5 months. So, you know, you have a knee injury, Morgan Riley, and I know they're different things. Morgan Riley has a knee injury, you know, in his draft year. He missed a significant amount of time. He went fifth overall because they were totally, he came back and played, and they were totally satisfied that he was a player that had no ill effects, but they went through it. So I don't know exactly what the medical reports have been on Hendrix. I know that they were hopeful that he was progressing and that he might be able to return to play. But at the same time, you know, what I would say to you is if medical staff and you go through your medical staff and they say, hey, listen, you know, he's at no more risk or of anything than any other player, then we see players have concussions in the NHL and we see players go through that. If I knew that from my medical staff, then he would fall into the pool with every other player.
Well, at this time of year, Craig, when there are no games being played, we're always appreciative of people who start debates for us. And you did that yesterday with your list when it came out, and you had Jack Quinn ahead of Marco Rossi. You got a ton of feedback from 67 season ticket holders and people that are fans of the team that watch these two guys play. It was a meteoric rise for Jack Quinn. On your fall list, you had him at 29. You have him at 6. What made you, at the end of the day, put Jack Quinn slightly ahead of Marco Rossi?
Yeah, and I mean, listen, the great thing about a debate like that is if, you know, somebody said Rossi could go ahead, I mean, I have no problem with that. I mean, Rossi's a heck of a player. What it came down to for me is that I think that when I use a comparable type player, I use David Pastrnak for Jack Quinn. That's a 50-goal scorer. That's an elite, elite two-way player. And that's what I see Jack as. I don't see Jack just as an offense, as a goal scorer. He kills penalties. He scores goals in many different ways. He's a good playmaker. And you watch how much he's improved and, you know, how he's taken that step ahead physically. It's so impressive. And then I start to think about how much more room does he have. And him and Marco are the same age. I mean, there's a few days separating them. And Sean, you know, I compare Marco Rossi to Nick Backstrom. I mean, Nick Backstrom's a top offensive player in the league. So it comes down to, you know, Marco Rossi, Nick Backstrom, Jack Quinn, David Pastrnak. You know, I went with the better goal scorer. That's really what it came down to for me. But I think they're both terrific players.
Yeah, and that is the debate. It's not a negative. I said between those two, and if Byfield is Malkin, I'll probably take all three on my team.
Let me add one thing too, Sean, and you know this, and you can go through this. I mean, you know, JR, we sit there and we go, oh, 6-8, right? Like, again, I talk about clusters, right? Like, I mean, so, you know, if you're sitting down as a team, and let's just say the Ottawa Senators, and I go, okay, what does Rossi bring to us? What does Pastrnak bring to us? You know, you're looking at the cluster and you go, okay, we want the Backstrom type. That's what we want. We want a center. Or we want the Pastrnak type. It's not like you're going wrong, but that's where the discussion goes, and then you make that decision, and then you take that player. I try to get players in the right clusters, and I feel pretty confident when I get my list done that I'm putting players in the right clusters. And for me, it's one, Lafreniere stands alone. Then I go from 2 to 5. And then I go from 6 to about, I think, 15 or 16. Those are my clusters. And, you know, you try to, in that first part of the draft, and that's where you try to go through. And that's how I try to go through. And then, you know, within it, you try to make those arguments or discussions, okay, this guy over that guy. But if somebody says, hey, listen, you know what, I want Lucas Raymond because I think he's a Mitch Marner type. You know, and you take him at 6 or ahead of Quinn, I would have zero issues with that.
And also in the clusters, Craig, I was trying to make a comparison basically with Hughes and Doc, Kakko to some extent, but with Rossi to Quinn, Lafreniere with the late birthdays, not a big difference in age being 01s. How much of a factor do you look at where Byfield quite simply is almost a full year younger than Lafreniere as far as projection?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's always a factor, because what you're trying to do is not only take into account the, you know, what the age of the player is, but then you're also trying to project, you know, how good he can be given, you know, that age of 21, 22, whatever you want to use, you know, when the maturity playing field levels off, so to speak. But, you know, I mean, Quinton's born in August, and, you know, like, I think that the Quinton is going to just continue to grow in to himself as a player and grow into that body. So it's really, I don't know if it's really significant, because what Alexi Lafreniere has done, and he's done it since day one, since he entered junior hockey, is dominated. He's been a dominant player. He's been as advertised. And so you already know, I would say that if Quinton Byfield can do the same thing by his third year of junior, that, you know, you're looking at a top end player. You know, we look at Malkin, you know, a Malkin type player offensively. You know, he's got a determination to be like Kopitar as a really well-rounded two-way player. Well, that's a Hall of Famer. So you're not going wrong there. But I think you have to take that into the discussion, Sean. I don't think I think to dismiss it would be wrong.
With Craig Button, TSN's director of scouting, Ottawa's sitting right now with 2 and 3. Again, who knows if there's going to be a lottery, if it is, what form it's going to take. But let's say, for the sake of argument, Craig, that Ottawa sits there and they end up with the second and third picks. Do you think they just follow, you know, your list, go for two elite centers? That certainly is an organizational need. Or do you look at them as maybe you grab one center and then maybe you go for, you know, either a high-scoring winger or a defenseman or something like that?
You know what's amazing when you're in that spot? So let me just say this. Like, I mean, I know I've seen some things you know, about the lottery. Listen, everybody's played 68 to 71 games in the National Hockey League. You know, we have a body of work. You know, the lottery is, like, they might say, hey, listen, it's going to go by points percentage. I mean, we've seen that the junior teams have done that in terms of their lottery, the Western Hockey League. They went by points percentage. I mean, there's enough of a body of work. I mean, they're not going to open up the lottery. I mean, you know, they might say, hey, listen, one team, you know, you're in the playoffs and you get to be a part of the lottery based on points percentage. Maybe they go by points. It's going to be, I have no doubt it's going to be a 15 team lottery, and it's going to be weighted the same way, 1 to 15. So I don't see that changing. So that puts Ottawa in a great position, number one. Number two, I think they have a chance. No, I don't think they have a chance. They're going to get two really good players. They're going to get impact players. They have a very good prospect pool, at all the different positions. So to me, the Ottawa Senators have an unbelievable opportunity here to add two difference makers, two significant players to their lineup. So whether you're picking two and you say, okay, listen, we like Perfetti, or we want Jamie Drysdale, or we want Marco Rossi or Quentin Byfield, I just don't see, as you go through there, and like I said, going all the way down to nine, okay, because LaPierre now becomes a little bit of that question mark player because you want to get answers on him. But to nine, I don't see how they could go wrong taking any two of those guys. I just don't. I'll take the goalie out of it, only for now, and I love the goalie. But outside the goalie, I don't see any skater that they could absolutely go wrong on.
Craig, another player that has risen quickly has been Jake Sanderson, the son of Jeff. Based on, again, I'm just hearing what people say, but between he and Drysdale, would there be some war rooms that are trying to kind of figure out between the two of those who they would take with their first pick? Is it that close, I guess, is the question?
Yeah, and let me just tell you this, okay? So I'm an idiot, okay? Jake Sanderson was – but Jake Sanderson was always a good player. I watched Jake from the time he was playing Bantam hockey here in Calgary, okay? And, you know, I'll tell you, it's funny to me, but, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm, you know, you come back from the World Junior, you're doing your list, and all of a sudden, you know, so I fell asleep at the wheel. I go to the All-American Prospects game, and I see Jeff Sanderson, longtime NHLer, you know, Jake's dad. He comes up to me, he goes, 33, Craig, what are you doing? I looked at him, I just said, I fell asleep at the wheel, Jeff. I don't know what else to tell you. I really did. It was an absolute, you know, like brain lapse. And so anyway, so you might see that he was 33 because that's just to point out how dumb I was.
Yeah.
But Jake's a really good player. I don't think he has the same offensive ability as Jamie Drysdale. I see Jake as more of a Mark Edward Vlasic type. You know, he's going to be a really good defenseman. He's going to be a really significant defenseman on your team. But I don't think he's going to be able to generate the same amount of offense that Jamie Drysdale does. Could there be a debate? Yeah, there could be a discussion. But I think that Jamie has established himself as the best defenseman in the draft.
How much weight do you put in? I know when Cole Perfetti played here in Ottawa, you were here for that game. So you've got Cole Perfetti, you got at number four. You've got Quinn at six and Rossi at eight. You go to the U-17s and the World Juniors and the U-18s. When you're putting together your list, your final list, Craig, how much do you put into, you know, the head-to-head where you see play, you know, really, really elite players who are playing against each other when you're putting together your list?
Well, I think it's such an unbelievable opportunity. I think when you're looking at Cole Perfetti as a winger and you're watching him play against Rossi and Quinn, you know, it's not so much, you know, you get a great opportunity to watch how they operate and they compete. I like it more when it's a good defenseman against a good forward, obviously the goaltenders against the forwards. So, you know, you get those opportunities to watch those players in those settings. And I think it's always good, but you know, I never think it's a, it's one piece. It's one small piece. I think it's just phenomenal when you can watch top end players out on the same ice surface together and trying to show, and they're competitive. You know, you get a game like that and, you know, Cole wants to show, hey, wait a sec, I'm better than Quinn and I'm better than Rossi. Rossi and Quinn want to show that they're better. So I think it's really neat to watch that kind of, that competition that they have to show that they're better, but it's just one evaluation. And, you know, I mean, I've watched Cole Perfetti play since he was 14 playing in Whitby, and, you know, he played with Darren Drager's son. So he was a bantam playing minor midgets. So having watched him play for so long and watched, you know, how much he's progressed, you know, we always got to be careful about, if they have a great game or they have a bad game, it's one game. And I think you always got to keep that in mind.
Craig, Ottawa, eight picks in basically the top 64, two-year draft in the 103. This has also been talked about as the actual depth. How excited should Sens fans be of having that many picks that high in this year's draft?
Yeah, you should be. There's not a first-round pick in there as well, right? You know,
yeah.
It's not just the two first round picks are high. They also have another first round pick, which is significant. I think there's real quality in this draft, Sean. I think it's one of the deeper drafts I've seen in the last number of years. And when I say deep, I'm talking about, so we go through the first part of the draft, and like I'm talking about first line players, number one goalie in Askarov, top pair defenseman, you know, or number three. And then as you get deeper, good second line forwards, good second pair defenseman. And I think that goes well deep into the second round, maybe, you know, in terms of potential into the early part of the third round. So if you got that many picks, you know, in the first 64, I mean, I think that it gives you a couple of things. It gives you the potential to draft players that could be really good, and it gives you currency to do other things. Because I think most teams are looking at this draft as exactly like that. And, Sean, you sat at the table. You know how teams get. They have a player rated high, and they're going, oh, we need this player. All of a sudden, the phone rings at the Ottawa Senators table, and maybe they get another pick. Maybe they get a second-round pick next year for one of their picks. And, you know, you're not going to it becomes hard to sign all your players from one draft. And if you're going to have eight in the top 64, you know, you think they're all going to play. So you can also use it as currency. I think it's
– with that,
hey, listen, they put themselves in a phenomenal position.
With that many picks, if you're Pierre Dorion, should you switch ensembles or just go with one suit the whole time?
Wouldn't that be great? Like, you know, he comes in and he wears – well, he wears like three different, like he layers it, right?
Oh, absolutely. One with a nice bright red. Yeah. Well, team colors.
All right, good stuff.
Craig? Yeah, it would be great. But it would be like, I mean, I think the Senators are so well positioned. I mean, again, you know, they have a really good coach. You know, they have a really, really good prospect pool with really good players. And players that can play in all different parts of your lineup. Not just like, oh, yeah, they have these top prospects. They have so many different good players that are going to play for the Ottawa Senators. And tell you what, I think it's an exciting time to be a Sens fan, because I think the future for the Senators is really bright and will only become that much brighter after this year's draft.
All right. Good to catch up with you. How are things on the home front for you? All good?
Oh, they're all good. Yeah, they're all good. You know, we're physically distancing, but not socially distancing. And, you know, that's just the way we got it. That's what we got to do. So I hope the same for you and your families, and that we all just keep doing our part to make sure that we can get back to doing the things that became normal parts of our lives.
Absolutely. And enjoying all the content on TSN.ca that you're contributing. Really appreciate the time this morning. And no doubt we'll be leaning on you again down the road. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. Thanks, JR. Thanks, Sean.